نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد قال الله تبارك وتعالى ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا كبيرا فقد فاز فوزا عظيما Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says that person that obeys Allah and the Rasul of Allah, indeed, he has achieved a great amount of success and prosperity. We make dua to Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala that Allah grant us the tawfiq and hidayat to understand the seerat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and implement it in every angle and dimension of our lives. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed Hajj in the 10th year after Hijrat. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away in the 11th year in the month of Rabiul Awwal. After Hajj, there were approximately 80 days that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lived, and those were the last moments of the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When we analyze the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is divided into two: the Makki life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Madani life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The life that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lived in Makkah al-Mukarramah for 13 years after being a Nabi of Allah, and 10 years in Madinatul Munawwara. The life in Makkatul Mukarrama, the 13 years that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam propagated the deen of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, the focus was on iman. It was on tawheed, emphasizing on the importance of the oneness of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, reminding the people of ba'ath ba'd al-maut, resurrection after death. It is our belief that once we die, our bodies don't just disintegrate. We believe in the concept of life after death, standing in the court of Allah to give an account of all our actions and all our deeds. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam focused on Jannat, the reward Allah tabarak wa ta'ala give an individual in Jannah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cautioned the people of the fire of Jahannam. He spoke about the manifestations of the power of Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, and he gave various incidents of the previous Anbiya, previous prophets. The followers of those prophets were successful, those who were obedient, and those that were disobedient, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala punished them. The Madani life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was mostly concentrated on the various ahkam and the laws of the Sharia. And in the 10 years, the many institutions of the Sharia were established. Now, when a person presents many, many lessons, 23 years of Nubuwwat of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there were so many ayats of the Quran Kareem that were revealed. By the time Nabi sallallahu alayhi came from Hajj, almost the entire Quran Kareem was revealed upon Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There were few verses that were left. So many ahadiths Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have mentioned to the Sahaba. And how is one supposed to remember so many ayats of the Quran Kareem and so many ahadiths of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So there was a need to summarize the teaching of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is mentioned that one of the most effective philosophies of teaching is a three-dimensional approach. You first introduce a topic. You tell a person what you are going to talk about. Identify the topic. Tell him what is the nature of the topic. And then you talk on the subject matter. And after having spoken on the subject matter, then in order to capture that information, you summarize the entire information, whatever has been presented. In other words, you would call it the introduction, the body, and the conclusion. Some people have presented in a very nice way that when you want somebody to capture knowledge and understand a very difficult topic, tell him what you're going to tell, then tell what you told. And this is also understood from the ayats of the Quran Kareem. See, in Surah Al-Baqarah, Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala speaks about the Banu Israel, the Jews, and how they conducted themselves with their prophets. When Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala gave them laws, how they played around with the laws of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. So in order to understand that, so that we, the Ummah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we don't need to make that mistake. It was such an important thing. So first Allah Tabarak speaks about in the fifth ruku of Surah Al-Baqarah, Ya Bani Israel. Brief introduction about who the Banu Israel were. And from there going right up till almost the end of the first Jude of the Quran Kareem, that's the body of the Banu Israel. Explaining the different angle, different dimension of the Banu Israel. And right toward the end again, Ya Bani Israel, the third Ya Banu Israel has been mentioned, where Allah summarizes everything. Nabi Kareem Sasa performed Hajj. Nabi Kareem Sasa came to Madinatul Munawwara. And one very unique incident took place. Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam came to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasalam in a very unique way. In a way that nobody could recognize that this was Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. And he asked Nabi Kareem sallallahu certain questions. And the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam answered them. He also confirmed the answers that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam gave. And this is known as the Hadith of Jibreel. Ulama have mentioned that this Hadith of Jibreel is such an important Hadith that it summarizes and it encapsulates 23 years of the teachings of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And that is when it was not long before the demise of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam that this incident had taken place. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala is the narrator of the Hadith and he is the narrator of that incident. He says, عن عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله تعالى عنه قال بينا نحن عند رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ذات يوم اصطلع علينا رجل شديد بياض الثياب شديد سواد الشعر. Whilst we were by Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم one day, suddenly one person rose, came up. He was wearing extremely white clothing and his hair was extremely black. لا يرى عليه أثر السفر ولا يعرفه منا أحد. We couldn't see any signs of travel on him. The reason for saying this is that he was not known among us, so he should be a musafir, he should be a traveler. And a traveler, you see signs of travel on him. But here, the amazing thing is that we could not see any signs of travel on him. But if he were not a musafir, he's a muqeem, he's a local person, somebody should have recognized him. Here, nobody even recognized him. حَتَّى جَلَثَ إِلَى النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. Now understand the mindset and the conduct of the Sahaba with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Utmost adab and respect. Utmost etiquette they displayed before Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But here, this person came, جَلَثَ إِلَى النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. He sat right by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَأَسْنَدَ رُكْبَتَي إِلَى رُكْبَتَي. He attached his knees to the knees of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَوَضَعَ كَفَيْ عَلَى فَخِذَي. And apart from sitting right in front of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, knee touching knee, he placed his palms either on his own thighs, like how a respectful student would sit in front of the ustad, or either if there are easy friend with each other, placing his palms on the thighs of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Waqal, Ya Muhammad. Now, this person came and he said, Ya Muhammad, akhbirni anil Islam. Tell me about Islam. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, Al-Islam, anta shada an la ilaha illallah, wa anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, wa tuqima salah, wa tu'tiya zakat, wa tasuma ramadan, wa tahajjul bayt in istata'ta ilayhi sabila. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained, defined Islam to bear witness that there is no one worthy of worship but Allah and Muhammad is the Rasul of Allah, to establish salah, to give zakat, to fast the month of Ramadan and to make Hajj of the Baytullah if the person have the financial means and ability to do so. And all these five ahkam were presented over a long period of time, almost over 23 years. After the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam defined Islam, then the person that asked the question saying, Sadaqah, what you said is true. Normally a person will ask a question if he doesn't know. Now, here the person asking the question and he's confirming your answer is true. فَعَجِبْنَا لَهُ يَسْأَلُهُ وَيَصَدِّقُهُ. We were surprised that the person is asking a question and he's also testifying on the answer. قَالْ فَأَخْبِرْنِيَا لِلْإِيمَانِ. Second question, tell me about Iman. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam defined Iman. أَنْ تُؤْمِنَ بِاللَّهِ وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ وَكُتُبِهِ وَرُسُلِهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَتُؤْمِنْ بِالْقَدْرِ خَيْرِهِ وَشَرِّهِ. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned, Iman is to bring Iman on Allah, on the angels of Allah, on the kitabs, on the rasools of Allah, on the last day. And you bring Iman on taqdeer, good and bad, everything is from Allah. Again, the person asked the question, he said, Sadaqta, what you said is true. Third question is asked, Akhbirni anil ihsan. Tell me about ihsan. And loosely translated as ikhlas or Allah consciousness. قال أن تعبد الله كأنك ترى فإن لم تكن ترى فإنه يراك. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam defined what is ikhlas or what is Allah consciousness. You worship Allah as though you can see Allah. And if you cannot bring your mindset to the fact that you can see Allah, indeed Allah sees you. قال فأخبرني عن الساعة. The fourth question, tell me about Qiyamah. قال ما المسؤول عنها بأعلم من السائل. The person that has been asked a question, that is referring to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam himself, he doesn't know more than the person that's asking the question. In this context, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. قال فأخبرني عن أماراتها. So the person said, tell me about the signs of Qiyamah. Nabi Sasa mentioned, أن تلد الأمة ربتها وأن ترى الحفاة العراة العالى رعاء الشاة يتطاولون في البنيان. That a time will come where a female slave, she will give birth to a master or a mistress. And that you will see a person that is bare feet, got no shoes to wear, العرات, a person who got no clothes to wear, he is unclothed, العالى, a person that is completely poor, poverty stricken, رعاء الشاة, he's a person that living by grazing the sheep. There was one time in his life he was extremely poor, but later in his life, يَتَطَاوَلُونَ فِي الْبُنْيَانِ, he will be among those people that will compete with each other in putting up huge high-rising buildings. From nothing to everything. قال, Umar radiallahu ta'ala says, سُمَّنْ تَلَقْ. The person woke up and went away. فَلَبِسْتُ مَلِيًّا. I waited for some time, according to some narrations, 3 days. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told to me after 3 days, Ya Umar, atadri man isail? You know that person that came in a majlis and asked all those questions? Do you know who that person was? Qultu Allahu wa rasulu alam. I don't know, Allah and the Rasul knows best. Nabi sallallahu alayhi mentioned, Fa innahu Jibreel, atakum yuallimukum deenakum. That was Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam that came in the form of a human being. And he came and asked this question. The purpose of this Q&A, the purpose of asking a question and getting the answers was to teach you a religion or to remind you of the religion that you have received in the course of 23 years. Now this is a hadith of Jibreel that where the deen of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala was summarized over a period of 3 years, of 23 years. Now, this is entire deen, entire iman being summarized. Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayh, where he discusses iman, different angles and different aspects of iman, he presents about 40 topics on how a person could increase his iman. It is our belief, one is iman and one is iman yazidu wa yanqus, iman increases and decreases. And an easy explanation of that is that one is a tree and one are the branches of the tree. If there's a tree without the branches, it is still a tree. But if the branches of the tree are there with the tree, it makes the tree more useful, more beneficial, and more good looking. So one is our iman. Our iman is just like the trunk of the tree. But the amal that we do, the actions that we do that make the tree looks beautiful, it also beautifies our iman. It also increases our iman. So Imam Bukhari rahmatullah mentions about 40 things through which we could increase our iman. And among the things that he mentioned, the first thing he speaks about, innamal amalu bin niyat. Ikhlas, sincerity, doing things solely for the pleasure of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And this is the third question in this hadith, mal ihsan. What is Allah consciousness? An ta'bud Allah ka annaka tara. You worship Allah tabarak wa ta'ala as though Allah can see you. This is called that mushahada. You bring yourself as though you can see someone, and how you conduct yourself in front of the person, bring your mindset to that point. And fa'in lam takun tara, if you cannot bring your mind to that level where you see as though you are seeing Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, and indeed we cannot see Allah tabarak wa ta'ala in this world, inshallah in the akhirat we will see Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, but in this world you cannot bring your mindset to that level, then فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكْ, have yaqeen and conviction, Allah is seeing you. This is called the darja of muraqabah, where you're always conscious that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is seeing you. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala was traveling somewhere. He came across a shepherd, and he observed the shepherd was fasting. Then he thought, let him test this person's ikhlas and sincerity out. And he told the shepherd, give me one sheep from here. The shepherd told him that the sheep doesn't belong to me, it belongs to my master, I can't give anything without his permission. Abdullah ibn Umar told him, but your master is not here, he's not seeing you. So the shepherd gave an amazing answer to Abdullah ibn Umar, that my master is not here, but the master of masters, Allah, is seeing me. This is what is called Allah consciousness. Wherever we are, whether we're in our privacy of our homes, whether we are in public, whether we're in our business dealings, wherever we are, Allah is watching each and everything. And our commitment in everything should be first to Allah before we commit to anything else. Another important lesson Imam Bukhari gives us, from apart from many other lessons, sometimes we do many, many good deeds. Lot of amal we do, but sometimes we just do one wrong thing and we could waste all our amal. In order to save our iman and save our amal, we need to be very, very careful and guarded on those things. And Imam Bukhari says, the babu khawfil amal, ayyuhbata amalu. A mu'min should fear that whatever amal he do, he shouldn't waste it, he shouldn't get it disregarded. He should fear Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And then he quotes Ibrahim Taymi rahmatullah alayh. Ibrahim Taymi rahmatullah alayh says that, مَا عَرَسْتُ قَوْلِي عَلَىٰ عَمَلِي إِلَّا خَشِيْتُ أَنْ أَكُونَ مُكَذِّبًا. Ibrahim Taymi was a great person, illustrious person. It is mentioned about him that Hajjaj ibn Yusuf was looking for Ibrahim Nakhai rahmatullah alayh. Ibrahim Nakhai rahmatullah alayh was the ustad of Hamad. Hamad is the ustad of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh. And it was he was a zalim and oppressor. We're looking for Ibrahim Nakhai. So the police officers of Hajjaj ibn Yusuf came to Ibrahim Taymi rahmatullah alayh. And they asked him, what is his name? So my name is Ibrahim. And Ibrahim Taymi knew that Hajjaj ibn Yusuf was after Ibrahim Nakhai. So he told, I'm Ibrahim. He didn't say, I'm Ibrahim Taymi. He just said the name Ibrahim. The officers thought that this is Ibrahim Nakhai. They arrested him. They put him in prison. And Ibrahim Taymi thought to himself that he was a great alim, he was a muhaddis of his own right. But he thought to himself, rather let me be arrested in place of Ibrahim Nakhai. Ibrahim Nakhai is such a great, illustrious alim, muhaddis, that rather the ummah benefit from him. And if I can be arrested to save his life, then that is my good fortune. What a great sacrifice made by Ibrahim Taymi. Now a person of that caliber, he is saying that whenever I tested my statement of La ilaha illallah upon my amal, I compared my amal with my La ilaha illallah, I always feared that I'm speaking a lie, not fulfilling the dictates of iman. And that is the attitude we should be having. And one of the things Imam Bukhari mentioned in the same topic, at times a person makes guna. He makes israr on guna. He persists on guna. He carries on doing it. He doesn't make tawbah. And if he died in that condition, he may be doing certain amal, certain action and deed, but he engaged in certain sin. When he does not make tawbah, there's a fear that he would die and we'd lose all his actions and all his amal. And Allah refers to it in the Quran al-Kareem, وَلَمْ يُسِرُّوا عَلَىٰ مَا فَعَلُوا وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ. The person, he commits sins, he insists on committing sins, persists on that, and he does not make tawbah. These are the things that a person should be guarded against. He should protect himself, protect his iman. We make dua, Allah Ta'ala grant us tawfiq and hidayat to practice on the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And the most important lesson in Hadith of Jibreel, apart from our iman, our ikhlas, which we learn from Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in Hadith of Jibreel. Wa akhiru da'wana, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.